At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
And now it's time for the Sports Kings from Queens.
There's a tradition in tournament play to not talk about the next step until you've climbed the one in front of you. I'm sure going to the state finals is beyond your wildest dreams, so let's just keep it right there. Forget about the crowds, the size of the school, their fancy uniforms, and remember what got you here. Focus on the fundamentals that we've gone over time and time again, and most important, don't get caught up thinking about winning or losing this game. If you put your effort and concentration into playing to your potential, to be the best that you can be, I don't care what the scoreboard says at the end of the game, in my book, we're going to be winners. Okay?
Sports fans, we are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Gino, joined by my co-hosts, Kevin and Darren. Today is Wednesday, February 26th. This is episode 157. Please catch us wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure to like, subscribe, follow us on Facebook, follow us on YouTube, follow us on Instagram. You're going to see us popping up all over the place. Give us a like, give us a share. Join our pages. We need people to join our pages. Leave us comments. We'll talk back to you. Don't worry. Tonight, we're going around the world of sports. We're going to talk more about college basketball as the selection show is a mere 18 days away. That's right, 18. It's coming up very fast. We're going to kick it off. We'll go around the world of sports. We're going to start it off in hockey. Four Nations face-off, which was the All-Star game, finished up last week. Canada wins 3-2 in the final game against the U.S. 1-1 after one. 2-2 after two, and it stayed that way until overtime. We get into overtime. Both goalies played really well. The Canadian goaltender made some saves in overtime that were just unbelievable. And then Connor David scored in overtime to give Canada the win. Kevin, talk to me.
Great game. I mean, no other way to play it. The only thing that would have been better would have been the U.S. win, obviously. But, I mean, For the casual person who's tuning in, who heard about this U.S.-Canada, you know, Trump got involved, if you want to bring that into it too, with, you know, calling the U.S. team, talking about Canada being the 51st state, all that. I mean, you add some extra stuff to it, and it lived up to its billing. It really, really did. It was a great game. And to think this is supposed to be like an all-star game, an exhibition game, and Two teams that just laid it on the line, played a great game, went into overtime. Billington stopped, Matthews point blank.
Twice.
I mean, you know,
Matthews could have put the puck in the net. Yeah, I mean, he had a hard time. He got robbed a couple times.
Yeah, easily could have won the game there. After the U.S. controlled play through the overtime until McDavid gets open in the slot and puts it in the spot where I don't think any goalie makes that save.
No.
If they do, it's a flat-out lucky save if they make it. But that's gonna hit the net, 99.99% of the time? Find the back of the net? I mean, come on. That was just a great shot. Great game. Great tournament. I'm looking forward to seeing more of this. Darren?
We get the Olympics next year, which is a prelude. Interesting little tidbit after this game. So each team comes out of the break, and St. Louis plays Winnipeg. But neither goalie played. I just thought it was interesting. I saw Winnipeg win, and I was like, did Hellebuck get like even, I guess, so to speak? Nah, they didn't. Neither starter played. But listen, it was great hockey. It was one of the funner tournaments that we've ever seen like this.
Absolutely.
It's about the athletes themselves. You could tell how much they care. Talking to Fox before the game, I know you guys don't love the Rangers, but Fox was like, this might be the most nervous I've ever been before a game. I mentioned last week, I'm forgetting the player who said this is the biggest game of my life, and a guy that had Eichel, who had won a Stanley Cup. I mean, it meant a lot to these guys and the Canadian side as well. But of all freaking people, do I really need to see freaking time? I hate Edmonton. If you don't, I'm a Calgary Flames fan. I hate Edmonton. And the fact that, you know, I have to watch Connor McDavid be the guy. It could have been 19 other guys, and I would have been a little bit better about it. But it had to be Connor effing McDavid that had the best player in the world, because that's what happens to a team like Edmonton. As soon as they miss out on they have a bad season, the best player in the world comes out. They get the one pick, just like, you know, Gretzky and all this other stuff. But you can't argue. Great hockey.
Yeah, I mean, definitely some of the best hockey we've seen in a while coming out of this kind of format. Replacing the All-Star game. I mean, if they had a regular All-Star game and skills competition, we all would have given it the 6 minutes that we thought it deserved. And here we are, we're watching 2 and 3 and 4 games of this little playoff series. It was definitely worth it. I mean, they definitely did a great job with this. So,
and all four teams were really competitive. I know Sweden and Finland didn't make it to the next round, but every team won at least a game. A couple of overtime losses for those teams. Well matched.
You said it last week, Darren. The only 2-goal games were because of empty netters.
Is it?
Yeah.
Good hockey. Great hockey, I should say.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. Other NHL news. So Ovechkin now is 13 goals away. He's at 882. Gretzky at 894. He needs 13 goals. They got 25 games left, Washington, for today. So he's on pace that he should do it. We'll see how this goes. Kev?
I mean, it's incredible. 30 goals
and
only 42 games. He was hurt for a couple months there, and he's putting up goals like, you know, Ovechkin from 10 years ago. I mean, this guy is 39 years old, and the way he's scoring goals is just amazing.
It's like there's a fire under his belly to do it this year for some reason. Maybe this is the end if he does it. We'll see. But there's something going on. I mean, Washington's playing great. Don't get me wrong. They're having a great season too. But Darren?
Yeah, I mean, the one point I was going to make is that, you know, that he's the one player I had in mind when I kept saying I wish they had a Russian team.
Yeah,
it was
exactly.
It was always Ovechkin. And I'm not trying to insult the other Russian players or anything like that. He was the guy that you wanted to see in this kind of spotlight to see how he would do against the All-Stars. That was it, just because I know he's a Russian descendant, he's a Russian citizen, all that type of stuff, but he's been in the United States forever. We've been watching the guy play. So you think about guys like him, and really he was the face that was in my head, but I kept saying, I wish they had a Russian contingent, because I thought that it would be, you know, be fun to watch Ovechkin play against the best in the world. That's all. That was the only reason why I wanted.
Strictly hockey player perspective.
Exactly. It had nothing to do with
nothing about all the other outside crap. Just from a pure hockey perspective, he should have been in this tournament.
Exactly. It's not the Red Army back in the day where they were all in the military type of thing. It's a little bit different now.
Yep.
You know, so I'm just saying. I mean, that was actually the face. And the Flames beat the Washington Capitals 3-1 last night. Anyway, I'll move on from that.
All right. So any other NHL points?
Listen, Fox getting hurt was a huge blow for the Rangers today. He'll be out, upper body injury, so he could have anything from, you know, a bruised neck to a concussion. We have no idea what we got going on here, but they say he should be back. But it makes you realize that now if the Rangers want to make a serious run, they're going to have to go out and get a defenseman. They're already weak in that position, and now a little slow. Now they probably have to overpay to get somebody in here to make the team a little bit competitive. As for the Islanders, Kev, you know.
I think they need a sell. I mean, they've lost 4 in a row now, 2 before the break, 2 after the break. They were not – I mean, last night's game against the Rangers was strange because they outshot the Rangers by plenty. Shesterkin made 36 saves, and they lost 5-1.
Funny, weren't you saying the same thing around this point last year?
Yeah, every year. I think the last 2 years I've been saying this. This team needs to sell. It's the same damn team. Lou. You know, the Eastern Conference final teams was, you know, COVID years. That's how long ago it was. It's time. They're 7 points out. There's 5 teams ahead of them. You want to talk about defensemen? They'll never make a trade, but you tell me Pelech or Pulak or Mayfield, who are all over 30, would look pretty damn good in Ranger blue.
No, I doubt they'll ever make.
I mean, they're not going to make a trade.
I know, but you're right. The Rangers need it. Islanders have it. And yeah, absolutely. And the Islanders need youth.
Yeah,
and the Rangers have that.
Everyone got some guys up front. No, Anders Lee's got 23 goals for this team. You mean to tell me he couldn't go out and play on some playoff team's second power play unit and just park himself in the front of the net and pick up some garbage goals?
He would be a welcome addition to basically any playoff team because of what he can do on the ice.
Kyle Palmieri. You want a bottom six guy who can kill penalties, Pageau. I mean, these are seven guys I've just mentioned. Mayfield was the other guy they thought about, too. These are seven guys who are over 30. This is an old Islander team, and we've been saying this for a couple of years now, or at least I have been. It's time to get younger, Lou. Come on.
Yep.
While the Devils are the one team that really has to keep pushing going forward. I mean, they're trying to do it without Markstrom right now. They got a shutout the other day. they keep pushing forward. They're actually just a very fast, fun hockey team to watch. So
yep.
The Devils have maintained their position most of the way. Hopefully they can continue to do so. And we'll see if the Rangers – I think the Islanders have to sell too. G, do you agree or do you think –
Yeah, I agree. No, I agree.
It's time.
You know, it's time now. I've been holding off Kev the last couple of years. Now I kind of agree with him. I was waiting for you, Kev. That's why.
The funny thing is, Nobody in the East is really running away outside the Capitals. Nobody's really hot. And Detroit would be the only team I guess you would put up there, both basketball and hockey. They're both rising as young teams. And the West, Winnipeg continues just to win, 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 win. Yeah. The beginning of their name says everything that you need to know about this team. Yeah. And the Stars and the Canucks are also playing pretty well out there. So we'll see what happens going forward. But a lot more hockey in April and May as we get ourselves into that playoff push.
Let's move to NBA. So a couple of points. Wembanyama, he's out the rest of the season. Blood clot in the shoulder. We'll pray for him. Hopefully he can deal with this, and hopefully he'll be back starting next year. NBA needs young guys like him. So, Kev, Knicks?
0-7 against the top three teams in the league. I'm talking Boston, Cleveland, and Oklahoma City.
Mm-hmm.
Two-game losing streak here. They look like they're going to win tonight against the Sixers. But they came out of the break, and they pulled an absolute no-show against the Cavaliers. I mean, they lost by 40. And then they followed up the next night, two nights later, and against the Celtics, wasn't a hell of a lot better. I mean, they were down 20 most of that game. They need to pick something up. I don't know if Mitchell Robinson coming back to try to help them defensively in the paint, but this team all year has struggled on the defensive end. They've been relying on outscoring teams. And the three teams that I mentioned, Cleveland, Boston, OKC, can all outscore the Knicks.
Yeah.
And they're not going to get it done on the defensive end. We know with Brunson out there, and we all love Brunson. We all love the way he plays. He's not a defense-first guy, and that's going to be a struggle. And Karl Anthony Towns, puts up his points, puts up his rebounds, but he's never been known as a solid defender. The big thing has been
the injury for him isn't something long-term that keeps him out.
Because he's out tonight. Yeah, and you expect more. Or at least I expected more from Bridges being, what's traditionally been a 3-and-D type player. His D hasn't been up to par, I don't think.
Yep. No, I would agree with that.
And the one thing I'd say, though, I'm not really panicked because we don't know what May's going to look like. And I'm not just talking about this team gelling and getting healthy and Ananobi, because you're supposed to have the two of the best defensive wings in the NBA. You went and got Ananobi. The record when Ananobi plays is unbelievable, by the way, but he doesn't play a lot. He does get hurt. But we don't know what you're looking at as we go forward. We don't know who's going to be injured on Cleveland or on Boston. We don't know, or on the Knicks. But what we do know is that right now they just seem to be missing that little bit of fire that they got from DiVincenzo last year. And they're missing that little bit of fire that they got, from I wouldn't really say – You know, they got it from the big. I'm blanking on his name right now, but they had a
Hartenstein.
Hartenstein's the other guy. I think they were getting it from. I don't think it was from Randall, but Hartenstein was a grit. And so I would say Hartenstein. You know, you feel like you can't take Hart off the floor because he's the only guy playing with heart and soul right now. It's, you know, but I think it's a little early to press the panic button, because in a 7-game series, I'd be very doubtful that the Knicks would be swept 4 games by 20 plus points. I do think that they could do it, but you know, right now you get, it looks like as Detroit is starting to separate themselves from the bottom of the playoff teams there, it looks like it's a Knicks Detroit matchup that seems to be facing you. So it'll be interesting to see how that turns out, but you know, you want to see they get blown out of these games so early, first quarter in every single one of these games. You're never able to watch, except for the one OKC game, I think on the road, where they actually led and kind of gave it away. Every other game, they seem like they get blown out in the first period, first quarter.
Yeah.
And you're like, there's nothing to watch. They never make a run. They never get into it. They cut it to 12 or 14. You're like, oh, okay. You know, I mean, they never get down to 6 or 8. You know, they're just never in it. Like you said with the Boston game, Kev. Never in it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's head over to a little baseball news. So
before we get into that, the Nets, by the way, have won 7 out of 10, and they lead OKC. They're going to lose tonight. We know that. They're not going to hold it. But this team who's trying to tank for draft picks is finding a way to beat everybody except the Wizards. They've lost 2 of those games to the 10-win Wizards. But they beat Philadelphia. They beat a few other teams that are pretty good. It just kind of helps crack you up a little bit. I just don't get it. And then I just want to ask you guys both one question. You know, gun to the head, you have to make one pick. Do you trust Doncic and LeBron more, or do you trust Butler and Steph more to make a bigger run? That's what we're looking at right now. Golden State's playing great with Butler. Lakers, you see what Doncic can do. We already knew it. You know, if you had to make one choice of the team you trust more right now, who's the team that you think makes the longer run? I'll start with you, Kev.
I really don't want to say the Lakers.
But say it if that's who you think.
I have to say the Lakers.
Are you giving us the scenario that they're going to face each other?
I'm giving you the scenario. Who goes further this year?
Who goes further? Who gets hot? Who can make a run in the Western Conference and possibly steal this Western Conference this year? Right, Darren?
Yeah, because OKC is the best team in the Western Conference, and they're not the best team until they actually get to the final.
I think,
and, you know, they have to earn it.
I think it's the Lakers.
I'm the only one that thinks it's the Warriors. I think this Butler edition is ridiculous. I don't know. They just look like they have a different energy to them, but I get what you're saying.
It's if playoff Jimmy shows up consistently, yeah, that's – but
well, but playoff Jimmy now's got to deal with sharing the ball with Curry in the playoffs too, so –
Well, playoff LeBron has to sit there and take a backseat to Doncic. So, and we saw him with LeBron. I saw a stat. He's like 0 for 21 in his last game-winning shot attempts. He just doesn't hit him, you know. And it's like it's been multiple years, you know, where shots like at the end of games where he hits one. So, will he defer to Doncic? Because he should, but will he? And you know, listen, I don't know if you love the supporting cast. Reeves got hurt, you know, so we'll see what it's not a serious injury, but nonetheless, you know, he's been the big time scorer on that team. So it's going to be interesting. And I also just, we saw Doncic in the finals, and he can be exposed relatively easy defensively. But if they put Butler, if they put Butler on Doncic, I'm just saying, we have a hell of a matchup. We have as good a matchup as you're going to watch. You have ultimate offense against ultimate defense. I think it's fun. I'm just saying. I think it's fun. And it's two teams that I have no enjoyment watching at all, but I think that would be fun.
Yep.
And, all right. And that's where I was with the NBA. Sorry, G.
That's okay. Let's move to baseball. A couple of baseball pieces of news that have come out in the last week. So Aaron Boone got an extension 2 years through 2027.
Darren, you look thrilled.
Listen, I'm not. I don't want Cashman there, and I don't want Boone there. I can't even kill Cashman because I like his offseason this year. This is the first year I'm not killing him in multiple years. But, no, I'm not happy with Boone getting another 2 years to be
Yankees a robot. Yankees also made a facial hair policy rule. weird that they did this after Devin Williams shaved off his beard, but
I think Devin can grow it back pretty easily.
Other thing I would say, they're also not going to be playing New York after losses anymore. They're going to be rotating other Sinatra hits.
Only wins
now.
The way it should be.
I agree with that move.
I do too. These are the things that the Yankees have come out and announced.
All right.
I mean, New York, New York is a winning song.
I agree with you. Let's move to across town to the Mets. They had a little news come out this week.
Sean Manaea.
6 weeks, looks like, lat sprain. Listen, Mets need to get another pitcher here, Kev. I mean,
the easiest one is Quintana.
I agree. But, you know, now you're looking at, you're down two between Manaea and
Montas.
So you're already down two. So you're in a tough spot.
I would make the call. I would have made the call to Quintana already. I would have had him in here by now. See if he can survive the first 4, 5, 6 weeks. And then looks like Manaea probably should be back before Montas. That's what it looks like.
Yep.
Because it sounds like, you know, with Manaea, it should be a 3 week out, rest up. If he's feeling good, ramp him back up. He's going to restart spring training basically from scratch.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, you have a schedule there. And to me, if you get Quintana in here, and if you want to go with a 6-man rotation like they were talking about, you know, Quintana protects you against further injuries later in the season.
In the grand scheme of things, I don't think he would cost you that much at this point either. You know what I mean?
Nobody signed him yet.
He needs a job.
You bring him in something with, you know, some incentive type thing, you know.
Yeah.
Every start past X, you get another 100,000 or whatever you want to do, you know. But, you know, from the last 2 years, when Quintana's been out there, he's somewhere around a 3.7, 3.8 ERA for the Mets, which is and he's going to go out there and give you 5 or 6 innings a night. That's what you need right now.
So I saw this trade being thrown around. Won't happen, but it was Stroman for Beatty.
No.
Are you in on that?
I don't want Marcus Stroman. I've never been the Marcus Stroman guy.
Well, even if you're down this many pitchers at this point, no?
No.
You needed a pitcher before Montas went down. You needed a pitcher before Montas and Manaea went down. The Mets are probably, at this moment, three starters down.
Yeah.
You probably get away with 2 starters, but I think you're 3 starters down. And, you know, because, again, you're sitting there saying, okay, Senga's going to be consistent, we hope. Right now, the offense is going to be you're going to have to outslug, and I get that, and that's fine, but when you're going up against good pitchers, it's not always that easy. They need to get a couple of arms. I understand the dislike of Stroman. I get it, but the first half of the season, the guy's magical.
Darren, would you be in on that trade for the Yankees?
I don't like Beatty, but yeah, I'd do it. I got to get rid of this kid. So yeah. I got to get rid of Stroman. He doesn't want to pitch out of the pen, and there's no place to put him in the rotation. So the Yankees are in a desperate mode. They have to do it. They have to find a suitable partner for Stroman. They're probably going to have to eat most of the contract because he will not.
That's I agree. I'm not going down that road. I'm just saying, are you good with that trade though?
No.
Okay.
I don't think Brett Beatty's any good. I need another guy that's going to hit .210 and play third base and play all right at third. No, if you're gonna sit there and make him bring in somebody or play the kid, play put Peraza out there and let him play every day. Fine. I don't need to watch LeMayu. Not to steal your thunder, my friend.
No, that's
okay. I don't need to. And I don't need to see any of these other clowns. I would just leave Chisholm at second, put Peraza at third, and let him play. And you know, I mean, why would I want Beatty over Peraza? Unless the Mets are eating up the entire contract, I don't want it.
Do we need to spend a couple of minutes talking about the new ABS system that they're testing?
Why not? Bring it up.
So it's the ABS is the automated ball strike system. Mm-hmm. They're testing it. Each team starts with 2 challenges. They'll lose a challenge if the umpire's call is confirmed. Only the batter, pitcher, or catcher can challenge the call. And they challenge it by tipping their cap or helmet to the umpire to signal that they want a challenge. There will be no additional challenges in extra innings. And the Hawkeye view will be shown during the review. And basically it shows you that the strike zone is the plate width of 17 inches. The height is 27% of the height. So it's between 27% and 53% from low to high. And the depth is the depth of home plate, which is 8.5 inches. So that's basically how they're doing it. I've seen it. It's pretty fast. It's correcting what I would say is obvious calls that are wrong. I don't think it's going to go into effect this year, but I would not be surprised if we see it next year. I'll tell you right now.
I hope it never does. I like human error as part of the game a little bit. Watch the end of it of a college basketball game and tell me how efficient these reviews are. The last 2 minutes of a college basketball game takes about 25 minutes now because they check the clock every time there's a ball out. I don't know. I know what you're saying. It's fast. I get it. You know what? I like umps that have different strike zone. I like the differences that they play. I like baseball is a unique sport. It's the only one where everything's different about it. Okay. The size of a hockey arena is the same. The size of an NBA court is the same. The size of an NFL field is the same. Baseball stadiums have different dimensions. Umpires have different zones.
No, that I like is it. So wrong.
I like it. I'm sorry. I like having the human
strike umpire. Zone is a strike zone is the strike zone.
I get it, but I think enough of the AI bullshit, enough of all this stuff of like, let's take jobs away from more people so we can have computers do things and the rich get richer and everybody else will be out of a job one day. Enough of it. At some point, you got to stay uncle. Enough of the garbage. I can't stand the fact that everything has to be technologically advanced. I know you love this crap.
I hate it with a passion.
I think it's disgusting.
When the umpire, well, you should get used to it because when the ball is 4 inches off the plate and they call it a strike, that's what the ABS is going to correct very, very quickly.
I can live with a 4-inch strike. It's not like Maddox in the 90s or Glavin. It's 4 inches.
Then later in the game, it's going to go the other way.
Darren?
So it's going to even out over the full season, whether you have this ABS or not.
I will tell you right now, start getting used to it because it's coming.
Gino, I know it's going that way because that's what the leagues do, but it's just stupid.
It's not stupid at all.
It's downright dumb.
It's not at all.
It completely is.
And I'll tell you this. It's fast. So I want to hear about the 25-minute last minute of a college basketball game. This is fast. This is not slow at all. This is not going to add 46 minutes to the game. This is fast. It's two challenges a game. You're going to tell me we can't be right for two calls when one of them's in the ninth inning and the umpire calls a strike that's 5.5, 7 inches off the plate and Judge is screaming his brains out because he knows it wasn't a strike?
He should catch the fly ball.
Anyway.
It all comes down to one strike call in the ninth inning. Listen, this is a sport that's been about human error forever.
Well, it's time to change it.
I know it's coming, Gino. Stop acting like you invented something. And yes, the league is going to freaking do it. It means that I don't realize that they're going to do this.
I know you do, but you use the word stupid.
And now I'm using the word stupid.
Don't use the word stupid. It's not.
Right now, I don't know if you missed this when I called it stupid. Kev,
you don't like the conversation real.
I'm acting like an idiot now. Take over.
I think you and I are in the same boat. We agree with what Max Scherzer was saying about
big shock.
I'm a more traditionalist, but you know Max Scherzer.
Big shock. Know. I don't like the pitch clock. I don't like the DH.
I don't.
Down the list.
give me my day games. Leave the gloves on the field. Give me Greg Maddux throwing a 77 pitch complete game in an hour and 50 minutes.
I guarantee there's no challenges on his calls. They're all strikes.
I get what you're saying. I just don't like technology involved in sports. I just don't like it.
I was good with that. Don't worry about it.
Tennis is the only one.
Was, there are going to be strikes that are changed to balls and balls that are changed to strikes. So we're going to basically be even. So what are we actually going? What, how is this improving the game? Why are we wasting our time with this? The umpires are basically really good. They're going to blow a call or two.
I completely disagree with that.
Out of 250, 300 pitches in a game, you're going to worry about four pitches?
If it's one of the four pitches that cost somebody a game, yes.
We got what are we doing at first base, Gino? What are we doing at second? What are we doing at third? We're going to do long reviews there every single time. I'm just telling you, it's just we're going to have umpires that are going to be computer all around the field.
At some point, yeah.
It's not yet. Tennis. It's not tennis.
Anyway, okay, let's move over. Any NFL points, guys? I know the
First, I want to give two quick baseball points.
Go ahead.
You guys might know this, but do you know the story of Will Clark and his first at-bat home run ever?
I saw that today.
Okay, I saw it last week. So he homered in his first at-bat in A-ball, then his first at-bat in Double-A, then his first at-bat in Triple-A, and then his first at-bat in the majors. And you know who he hit the home run off of, Kev?
Nolan Ryan.
Absolutely. I think that's an amazing stat. I had no idea. Yeah. So I saw that last week, and I was like, ooh, I saw it Friday. I'm like, that's for the show. Because I thought that was pretty good. I was going to share it. Then I was like, nah, I got to save that one. And then the other thing, just to point out, we went through college football, and we're going to do college basketball later. College baseball, the top 25, 10 teams from the SEC. This is becoming a habit. The SEC seems to dominate the top 25 in every one of the major college sports right now. But they have team one, A&M, team two, LSU, team three, Tennessee, team four, Alabama, team six, Georgia, team eight, Florida. I mean, and then you go all the way down. But they have five of the top eight teams in the country. I mean, the SEC has just been world beaters. What we're going to find out in the basketball tournament, and we'll get more into that as we go, is if it's going to be like, college football, where they have all these great teams, but they don't win the title. So it'll be interesting to see. And those are my two little points on baseball.
Kev, you had a baseball point?
Nope.
Okay. NFL Combine starts tomorrow. Aaron Rodgers saga looks like it's over with the Jets at this point.
It's
gone. Well, at the moment, anyway, until the Jets figure out they can't find a quarterback, then we'll see what happens if that comes back around. But any NFL points, guys?
Not really.
The NFL Players Association hands out a survey to their players after the season to rank your team, to give them a grade. There's one owner to get an F. Care to take a guess?
I'm going to go with ours.
Woody Johnson, the only F. The coach, he got a B. You know, we fired the coach. He got a B. We keep the owner. He got an F.
Well, it's not like we keep the owner, unfortunately.
We'll keep the owner,
if we had a chance to fire the owner, it would have been done years ago.
But
it would have been done right after they hired Idzig or Gase or any of these other stupid moves that he's done.
Yep.
All right, Darren, horses.
Yeah, just a couple of things. So I don't know if anybody was paying attention to the podcast last week, but if you did and you went out and you took the Darren's two horses – last week, which were Cold Battle and Mattaquette Road in the Rebel, you would have won. Exactly would have paid $227.80. Cold Battle was 11-1 on top of 5-1 Mattaquette Road. You'd have bet the triple. It was well over 1,000 with the favorite. Now, I didn't give anybody the triple. Of course, one guy that did not make the bet because he didn't get to it in time was me. So I watched the race on delay, and I kicked myself. But, yes, Cold Battle did exactly what I thought he would. Mattaquette Road kind of went out. Yeah, it was just the way it was this week. So yeah, I didn't hit the money either. But if anybody did, by all means.
So let me write this down for this week's picks. Come on.
Well, no, listen. As they say back in the old, I shot my load on this one most likely. But we'll see. We'll see if we hit this. So this week we have three major races with 50 points worth 50 points each. So we start with the Gotham, okay, at Aqueduct. We'll go with that one first. 10-horse field, they're only running the mile. They don't go a mile and 16th in this one just yet. I like Sand Devil, the 5-horse, who happens to be like a second choice in this race. He's 3-1 right now. He's 3-for-3 all time, one handily in all three starts. Lescano gets the mount for Linda Rice. The horse I like with him is Garamond, who is 1-for-1. Just broke his maiden. That's it. But I think he's a horse that can come in a little bit off the pace. And I think that Javier Castellano on the board for and Chad Brown, son of Uncle Mo, 5-1. I'm going to go with that combo. The Fountain of Youth at Gulfstream, 12 horse field, Gino. Very exciting. There's money to be made, Kev. This field of 12, I like the six a lot here. A horse called River Thames, who's 9-2. He's got Johnny V on board as a Pletcher horse. I think he's the only speed in the race. So I think he can kind of control the pace. If I had to pick a horse that can come off the pace and run with him, I'd say it's Sovereignty. So I'm going to go with the 6-2 exacta there. Sovereignty's 8-1, Junior Alvarado aboard on that one. And then we go to the Kev special, the San Felipe. Mile and 16th, six horse field. Two of these horses have never won. Well, one of them technically gets a win because he got moved up from second to first in a DQ. But two horses have never crossed the finish line first. This is the ultimate three-horse field, and two of them are Baffert horses. Barnes is the even money favorite. J.J. Hernandez on board. And then Rodriguez, not the name of the jockey, but the name of the horse, 9-5 shot with Flavian Pratt on board in the silks. Journalism's the other horse. He's the contender. He's got trainer Michael McCarthy and Rispoli's on board, 7-2 shot. Listen, Journalism can run for days. Apparently he's bred to run forever. Barnes, I think, should be the speed. Baffert will control the speed in this race. Journalism won't be able to press him. He's got three horses of the six, Baffert. I think that Barnes is a no-brainer in this one simply for that reason. I do think, though, that that Journalism will close for second. I just don't think it'll be enough. So, I would bet the three favorites is the triple for the Kev special. Get my $9 triple for $1. and run to the bank here. But I would take Barnes over Journalism and that. Let's see. Last week might have been just pure luck, which I'm assuming it was. We'll see if we got anything this week.
All right.
And that's my point on horse racing.
Any other points before we head over to college basketball? Kev, anything?
One quick thing. Golf. Story of the Mexican Open, okay? Let me tell you about Brian Campbell. A couple of years ago, he almost lost his Korn Ferry Tour card. Never finished the PGA Tour in the top 10. Was 250-1 to win the Mexico Open, and he won in the playoff. Good for him. His life just got changed. That's the story I'll give you from Mr. Brian Campbell.
Okay. Anything else, guys?
Before you go to college basketball, one of the GOATs retires, Darren. I know Gino doesn't give it. You know what? Diana Taurasi. Retiring. Is she
42 years old, 20 years in the league.
20 years in the league, six-time gold medalist, three-time NCAA champion, three-time WNBA champion, only player with 10,000 points, 3,000 more than anybody else. Is she the GOAT?
I think so. I think she's the original pure scorer in this sport. I mean, I know there are a lot of women that put up lots of points. Cheryl Swoops did, you know, even Ann Meyer back in the day, Lieberman, all these people. But she was a pure buckets getter, and her Connecticut teams were untouchable. I think she's the GOAT.
Okay.
Gino, college.
Yeah. She's a GOAT. All right. Let's head over to college basketball. It's our time of year, 18 days to the tournament. A lot of games over this past weekend changed a lot of things in some people's eyes. Maybe yes, maybe no. Darren? Where would you like to start?
All right, let's you know what? We'll go alphabetical like we always do. Why not? Right? We'll take the conference and we'll kick it off that way. Let me just get one little spot here. Okay, here it is. Sorry about that. So here's what I'm looking at when I go into college hoops right now. Again, we mentioned this last week, but we'll do it again now. 31 leagues, 23 will be one bid leagues definitely, okay? We know that. A-10 is probably the 24th, but because all these teams on the bubble keep finding a way to lose, you got to keep VCU and George Mason both on the bubble, technically. So you mentioned them both.
Does George Mason stay on the bubble? Well, after losing to VCU the other day, 70-54.
And they struggled with Fordham tonight, by the way. But here's the thing. If they get to the final and the other teams that are competing continue to find a way to fall apart, I don't think they're a bubble team, but everything I'm reading, they're in that 9-12 range out. They're not first four out. They're not next four out. they're in that next four. I don't think they're a bubble team either, Kev. I kind of agree with you. I don't have them in, but listen, if they beat VCU, they're going to win the conference title. So, I mean, you know, so they wouldn't need to be on the bubble. But right now, because of their record, but they've beaten nobody.
Yeah, that's 66. As of my numbers are from Monday. I didn't have a chance to update them yet. But, you know, 66 net just is not going to be enough. VCU's got is a team that's
– they're in the 30s. Really, but the net again, is such a misleading number because it rewards you for blowing a team out and leaving your starters in there to win by 35 and stuff like that, which isn't really the spirit of the sport back in the day. And now that's what we are. Kev, G?
I do not think that becomes a two-bid league in any circumstance at this point.
Well, so if George Mason wins it and they beat VCU in the final, you don't think VCU has a shot?
No.
Okay.
No. In fact, there's only one of those teams out there amongst those one big conference that I think gets in at this moment if they don't win, and that's Memphis. And other than that, I think everybody else is one bid at that point.
Okay. Well, I didn't put everybody else in there. You'll see that. So right now, I think we're all in agreement. It's a one-bid league at the 24th one-bid league, but I just wanted to put it out there.
Yep.
So the ACC, right? Duke, Clemson, Louisville, still all safe in all of our eyes, right?
Yes.
Pitt has the week of a nightmare, so to speak. Oh, so they're done. They're done.
Done.
Two brutal losses. Wake has
the Georgia Tech. No, you can't lose to those two teams.
Absolutely. Wake has the brutal loss on the road at NC State. It's a rivalry game, but you still can't lose it. And right now they're down at the half at home to Virginia, which would really just end them, I think. SMU blows their opportunity against Clemson. To me, this is a three-bid league, guys. I can't find a fourth team. North Carolina is 1-10 against the net quad one. And the fact of the matter is that one win was such a gift. If you watch the UCLA game, UCLA was up double digits most of the game and just couldn't hit foul shots down the stretch and left them in there. They should be 0-11. But they're not. They're 1-10, so you can't take it away. They have one game left against Duke. They have a home game against Duke to end the season. If they win that game, it changes my entire perspective. But I only have three. G?
I'm at five.
Okay, so who's your 4 and 5?
Wake and SMU and North Carolina knocking on the door to knock one of those guys out.
Okay, so SMU doesn't have any quad one wins.
Yep, 0-5.
And Wake is what, 2-6?
2-6.
And listen, I'm a Wake fan, as you know, but I can't put them in right now the way they're playing.
Well, when we get into a lot of these quad one territories with some of these teams, they all are going to have a lot of these records that we're talking about. Maybe not the 0-5 like SMU, but they're all going to have them. Quad 1-2 for SMU, 3-8 doesn't help my case either. But for the moment, I got them at 5, and I think two of Wake, SMU, North Carolina wind up getting in at this point.
Yeah, I happen to agree with Gino. I actually have, even though they've coming off bad losses, I do have Wake and SMU in right now. I mean, very shaky. But, you know, a lot of the other bubble teams are not playing well enough to get in right now.
I agree, Kev.
Okay.
I mean, very easy to change.
So we're way apart. This week, Wake has the Virginia game, and they play Notre Dame at home also. SMU goes to the West Coast trip. So they go to Cal and Stanford this week. North Carolina only has one game. They host Miami, a game that they should win. To be honest with you, all three of these teams have to sweep this week. I don't think – none of these losses would be considered a good loss.
Yep.
Nobody's playing anybody well. Anybody that's good, I should say. So let's go to the Big 12, boys. Houston, Arizona, Texas Tech, Iowa State, BYU, Kansas. I think we can all agree those six are pretty well safe, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
Okay. Is Baylor still safe? 16-12 with a good net.
They're hanging on. I think they're still in, but boy, you know, losing three in a row just doesn't help. But they're 5-10, so they do have 5 quad one wins out of 15 chances.
They played everybody. Boy,
they played everybody, and they need to get a couple of these wins back down the stretch here.
I have them in currently. They are very close to that line, though.
How about West Virginia, Gene?
And that is my eighth team. So I do have both of them in right now. You know, West Virginia, same thing. You know, they're 5-9 in quad one, net of 48. They're right on the cusp. I mean, Kev Kev made the point, which we're gonna make about eight times during this, which is the last week, nobody gave us some good wins to say, oh, we have to put them in now.
Well, I mean, Oklahoma, we'll get to the SEC. There's a couple, okay. But you're right. Okay. You're right.
All right.
And Kev, do you agree?
I'm in total agreement with Gino. Since he's won two in a row, the problem with them is they're 1-9 against the quad one.
And you know what I did? I put them in.
Of course.
I have a ninth team in out of this league.
You have a ninth? Yeah. Okay.
I do have the ninth. I put Cincy as my last team in.
And you have them in over, like, TCU? Like,
yeah. Well,
you have them, but no, but just in the Big 12, like I have them behind TCU and like right on par with Kansas State and Utah. I don't see where Cincinnati differentiates himself from those guys.
It's all eye test. Cincinnati's actually, okay. I think, a better team. Okay. I've watched them play about four or five games this year, and I think they have a lot of talent.
Okay.
They started off conference play brutally. They were 1-6, I think, and now they're 7-10 or 2-8. They started. I'm sorry. They started 2-8. Now they're 7-10. So they've been playing better. They're trending up.
Yep.
The only reason why I put them in.
And last night's win against Baylor helps them. Right.
And if you watched it, it was a hell of a game. By the way, Baylor fought back. He was up double digits.
Yeah.
Great game. Really, really well done.
I mean, I saw some of it, and that helps their argument when you're getting down to those last couple of teams out of the Big 12. So,
and then the reason that I brought Baylor up is that loss at Colorado doesn't help you because Colorado isn't beating anybody. But I still have them in because of who they played. I don't know if any of you guys saw the end of Arizona BYU, by the way.
I did.
That phantom call at the end of that game, they actually took the game away from Arizona at home, which is rare. Gave BYU two foul shots with under 2 seconds to go. Kid shot an air ball. It was really minimal contact, unless you saw it differently than I did. I had no dog in the fight. I was probably rooting for BYU, to be honest with you. I just thought it was a weird call.
That was the late Saturday night game, and let me tell you, that was a crazy freaking call, let me tell you.
And I'm sitting there saying, why am I awake for this? But anyway, I was. Okay, this week, Cincinnati goes to Houston. You know, don't expect much. Baylor hosts Oklahoma State. West Virginia visits BYU. So, to be honest with you, the only one that would have a bad loss with a loss here would be Baylor. Baylor has to beat Oklahoma State at home, and Oklahoma State beat Iowa State last night. Just keep that in mind. Big East boys. Let's go to Coach Pitino and his boys. So, clearly the best team in the conference. Still seems to me like it's four and two other teams fighting. Xavier a little ahead of Villanova in my mind right now. But I'm sticking with four. I don't know where you guys are at.
Yeah, I've got four. Xavier's won four in a row, but again, they're 1-8 quad one. I mean, you got to hear that a lot. Mm-hmm. Nova, good win against Marquette, but then blew a chance to, and they lose at UConn.
Yep, and they should have won that recently, game. So. And right now they're down 11 at Seton Hall, or maybe a little less than that. You guys are ahead of me, but
I have only four in. Xavier to me is out. Out looking in. I'm basically taking Nova off this bubble. I don't think Nova's getting in now. They need something really special to happen now as we come down the stretch for them to get in now.
Okay, Xavier hosts Creighton this week, so that's a big opportunity. Nova visits Seton Hall and hosts Butler, so that's it.
Yep.
Let's go to the Big Ten, where we had a little over half-court game winner tonight from Michigan State at Maryland. You know, amazing. But to me, Michigan State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Maryland, UCLA, Purdue, Oregon, off their win off Wisconsin, are all, to me, locks. Illinois had a brutal loss to Duke, but I still have them in pretty securely as well. So I have eight definitive ones.
Yep.
Where are we with the rest? Nebraska, Indiana, Ohio State are the other three, I think, that we keep in mind. Nebraska boys coming off two straight losses, bad one at home against Northwestern, at Northwestern, I'm sorry, and then lost at home to Michigan in a game that was an opportunity for them.
I have nine. I have the eight we talked about. I have at the moment Nebraska, but Indiana to me is knocking right on that door. I hated Ohio State's two losses last week. I kind of moved them off the bubble now. I know everybody loves them, that, you know, great net of 34, but I don't see it right now. I'm for me, it's Nebraska at the moment, but I can see Indiana getting in, swapping out. I think they're only getting 9, though. I know you're going to tell me 10, Dave, Darren, but.
No, I only have 9 as well. Okay. So good.
I've got 10.
I've got Ohio State.
And Ohio State still in there. But boy, you know, these two are battling with, you know, right now to me, Wake Forest, West Virginia as those first four type teams in there. One or two more losses and they're gone. And like Gino said, Indiana, you know, the last week, you know, or last week and a half or so, good wins against Purdue and at Michigan State, lost against UCLA. But before that, they lost 5 in a row.
Yep.
And 4-11 against the quad one. You know, it's they need to keep winning.
If we had two or three of these teams coming in winning 4 or 5 in a row, we wouldn't even be talking about this.
Oh, no doubt about it.
They're so up and down, these teams right now. But yeah, I mean, Darren, you're at how many of you?
I'm at 9 also. Okay. Now, Indiana's got the week where they have two teams that they should beat, but they're struggling at home right now with Penn State. They're tied. And they have to go to into Washington, I should say, which I know that it's a game that's winnable for them, but it's still a road trip out to the Pacific Northwest. Ohio State only has one game. They go to USC this week. Nebraska hosts Minnesota. They can't afford to lose that one. Illinois, just because of the bad loss to Duke, just to get them righted, they have to go to Michigan this week. So they're going to have to start. They're going to have to win a game or two here and try to get themselves back in it, to be honest with you.
Okay.
Mountain West, boys. New Mexico and Utah State, San Diego State, Boise State, Colorado State, all 5. I have Utah State and New Mexico as the kind of the locks on my set, in my opinion, even though New Mexico lost to San Diego State last night. I also add San Diego State, and I put Boise State as my 4, which is probably a little different than you guys have. So I have 4 out of the Mountain West.
It's not different from me, by the way. I have those 4 in right now. I think San Diego State is in now.
Not giving it to them yet, but I have them close.
The win last night against New Mexico, I think, gets them in now. I don't have them on the bubble. I do have Boise State on the bubble, though. In, but on the bubble. Kev, how many you have?
I've got 2 right now. I've got Utah State and New Mexico. And San Diego State, Boise State are right there. I don't know why I don't have them in over these 8th, 9th, 10th teams in the other conferences. But
it's easy.
You know, they're right there.
I could tell you why, because you have an enormous amount of teams from the SEC. That's why. That's a different. I'm not joking around. I'm being honest. That's the reason.
I've also got ten Big Ten.
You'll see that's going to be the difference.
But I also have 10 Big Ten. I've got 5 ACCs.
Yeah. No, but you have been pretty close the whole time. So.
Yep.
See, here's the thing. So that Boise State has it all on – they have everybody coming to them down the stretch. Okay, so this week Boise State hosts Utah State and Fresno State. The Utah State game is obviously huge for them.
Yep.
That's an opportunity. Colorado State hosts Utah State also. So Utah State has a tough week. Colorado State may not be on the bubble yet. They haven't done anything in non-conference, but their record is good. You watch this team and they look impressive. San Diego State only visits Wyoming after their win against New Mexico. That's it for this week. Now, here's the thing. This conference does ridiculously poorly in the NCAA tournament.
Yep.
Yet they always seem to get teams. You know, it's kind of a weird thing, right? They don't do crap in the tournament. They really don't.
Except for
San Diego State got to the final, so I'm not trying to say that it never happens. But everybody else craps the bed every year. And every year I end up picking one of these teams to do something to the 16, and they don't show me anything. Drives me nuts, but I do love watching the conference. I think it's good basketball when I do watch it. Now for Kevin's smile, let's talk SEC.
Well, wait. Let's hit the last multiple bid.
Well, there's two. I was just going alphabetical. You want to do West Coast Conference?
Yeah.
2 bid league for me. St. Mary's swept Gonzaga. Santa Clara lost to Gonzaga. That was their shot last night. San Francisco has to do something dramatic. They're at Oregon State this week and they host Gonzaga. If they sweep those two, you can give them an opportunity, but they have to win both, I think.
I have taken San Francisco out. I think they're on the outside looking in. That was kind of where I put Boise State in for me. I think at the moment it's two, and I can't agree with you more with Santa Clara last night. If they had a shot, it was last night. And it wasn't even the loss. It was the fact that they basically got blown out for
lost
a good
by 18.
Yeah,
they were up early, but they lost by 18. Kev, yeah. Your thoughts on this West Coast conference?
I've got the two like you guys do: San Fran outside looking in, Santa Clara. Like I'm just repeating what you said, basically. Yeah. But yeah, that loss last night knocked them out.
Okay.
Okay. San Fran needs to make a run. I think San Fran plays Gonzaga. So they have to win that one. And then they're going to have to beat at least one of them in the West Coast tournament.
They got
to
get to the final.
And lose to the other one in the final.
I agree. And honestly,
that may not be enough, but
I agree. I agree because it's going to have to be that they beat Gonzaga or something happens to Gonzaga in that tournament. You know, Gonzaga gets knocked out in the first round or something. That would be the way that it would happen.
Yep.
So, all right.
Okay, let's do it. The SEC, Auburn, Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, Missouri, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Kentucky, 9 definites. Vandy looking just like they're right there. Let's make it 10 because they won tonight. 10 definites, right?
At Texas A&M?
I give them that. Even though Texas A&M's slumping a little bit, I give them that one, right? So that's 10. So now, where do we go with the others?
I'm sorry, one quick sec. Who was your 10th?
Vanderbilt.
Okay, I agree with that. That's your 10.
Yep. After tonight. Even though, like you said, that last minute and a half took 40 minutes to play.
Well, listen, they beat Ole Miss last week, and then they win at A&M this week. Those are two crucial wins for them. I think that gets them in. So now we go to Oklahoma, Texas, Georgia,
Arkansas.
Those are the four. So out of those four, who we got, boys?
Kev, you can start it.
I've got three. I've got Oklahoma out. They did bounce back to break the 5-game losing streak by beating Mississippi State, but they have not played well. Like Darren, you keep saying, they were one of the last teams, or maybe the last team, to be undefeated. And now they're sitting there with how many losses? It's been a tough stretch for them here. I've got them out. I've got the other three in. Arkansas had a good win against, a terrific win against Missouri. Georgia with a huge win against Florida. That was huge. I think that put them back in for me. Texas lost 4 of the last 5, including, and I hate to say it, but the worst loss in SEC conference player this year. They did lose to the Gamecocks. But I think right now I've got Texas as the 68th team in right now.
They're my 66th. G, where are you going?
I have 12, and my two teams are Texas and Arkansas. I agree with Kev on one thing. I think Oklahoma now is probably out. I don't see them getting back in unless they have some huge run in the SEC tournament. Georgia's win against Florida yesterday is massive because it puts them right on the cusp of maybe getting in now. But I will tell you, Kev, had they lost the game last night, I would
have them out.
Yeah, I would have completely eliminated them. And I see a lot of the experts, they still have 13 and 14 teams. I'm not sure how, if they had lost last night, I don't know how they could have even put them in, especially because they're up 26 early, gave the whole lead up.
Yeah.
If they had blown that game, I take them completely out. To me, it's Texas, Arkansas, Georgia in that order. I have Texas, Arkansas in. I still have Georgia out, but if you're going to start doing comparisons on these three teams, the records are going to be almost identical with their record, their conference, their quad one. All of these numbers are starting to get really close and jumbled.
Yep. It's so hard to figure out.
Which I will tell you, though, because of the win last night with Georgia, I honestly, they may get 13 now. Because I don't know how you differentiate I was drawing that line in the sand a couple weeks ago, right, with the four wins and the five wins. They're all right there now. Oklahoma, I think, is out. But the other three are so close. If Wake Forest, SMU, Nebraska, Boise State, if all these teams play garbage, or two of them, three of them play garbage basketball for the next 2 or 3 weeks, they may get in. Darren, how many you have in?
I have 13, but I'm a little different than you guys. I still don't have Georgia in.
You have Oklahoma in?
I have Oklahoma. Listen, right now Oklahoma's down 2.5 to Kentucky. That would be huge. They would all be 5-10 in conference. Listen, the fact that Georgia's a lock at 5-10 makes me nervous. I had Arkansas. Arkansas was my top team of those teams.
I have Arkansas 11th.
Yep. I have Oklahoma 12th and Texas 13th. No, I'm sorry, Texas 12th, Oklahoma 13th, Georgia 14th. But Georgia's in my first four out. I honestly, you know, listen, Georgia down the stretch here. So the huge win against Florida in the game that they gave up the 26-point lead, and then Kane comes in, hits the big three, turned the whole thing around. The Florida shot selection down the stretch was awful, but that's beside the point. Great win for Georgia. You know, happy that that happened. Now they go to Texas, they go to South Carolina, and they host Vanderbilt. There's not a good win there. Texas would be the only one.
Vanderbilt?
At home?
Still have to beat them.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking about Vanderbilt.
Yeah, but we put Vanderbilt in now.
By name recognition, you're saying, okay, so beating the 10th best team in the SEC is a great
win. We have them in right now, Vandy.
I'm not saying we don't, but it's still the best team that they're playing left is the 10th seed. I'm not saying it's bad. Georgia has no room for error in any of these three games, any of these losses, because Vandy's a home game. So they're expected to win.
They'll be favored. They will be favored.
At Texas, who's getting beaten up by Arkansas right now. They're down 12. Okay? And then at South Carolina, who it was like the song Coward of the County. They finally had a team that they could beat. They just didn't let him go. He wasn't holding nothing back. They let him have it all. They ran amok on him. It was crazy. So I just don't think that Georgia has the opportunities. They only have the opportunity to fall. I don't see them having an opportunity to gain in these three. Maybe Vandy. Maybe I'll give you that. It's a home game against Vandy. They should be favored. They should win that game. And, you know, Vandy's 8-8, so I can't shoot them down. Texas, same thing, by the way. Okay? They play Georgia at home. After they go to Arkansas tonight and they're down 12, then they go to Mississippi State. That might be the only quality opportunity on the road, and then they host Oklahoma. That last game of the season could come down to, it could be coming down to something, or it would be about seeding, which would be interesting. So, and Arkansas, I think, has just played themselves in. You watch this team play. They're pretty fun to watch. I don't know. They have Texas tonight. They go to South Carolina, go to Vandy, and they host Mississippi State. So at Vandy and Mississippi State at home are both quality opportunities, and the Texas one would have them leapfrog Texas, in my opinion. So, I'm putting Oklahoma as my last one. Jay, sorry about that.
You got 18 days to the selection show.
18 days to the fantasy baseball
draft. Right?
That too.
gun to your head. How many teams from the SEC, Kev?
12.
Darren?
13.
I'm sticking at 12 right now.
It's going to be exciting.
And I think between Texas, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Georgia, two are going to get in. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if there's 13, but I think it's two. I got one other team I just want to touch on.
Yep.
They are not going to get in if they lose, but McNeese State out of the Southland Conference is 17-1 in conference, 23-6 overall. Watch them play. Man, they can shoot, man.
Yeah, their big problem was 6-5 in the non-conference, but they are a good team.
And I said it, they're not going to get in if they lose. I get it. And the net is not good either, but let me tell you, that is a team that would give a lot of teams in this tournament a lot of trouble.
I mean, and UC San Diego, by the way, can shoot the lights out as well. If you get a chance to watch that,
that's
team.
The other
they are pretty good.
Yeah, I still have them bubble if they don't win. Likely not, but if they keep if they win out and get to their finals and lose, especially if it's UC Irvine.
Yeah, I mean,
they're going to be right there. It's going to be.
They have a really good net. I don't know how far it falls if they lose to Irvine, but they have a really good net.
Locally, St. John's, let's say they win out and they get to the finals of the Big East tournament.
Right now they're up one.
Are they a three?
I think they could be a two.
Okay.
Depending on how other teams fall. They'd have to. I think they'd have to win out, but I think they could be a two.
So many people right now have them as a four, not even a three. And I don't know how that
I think they're a three.
So do I.
I think they can get as high as a two, but I'd say they're I'd agree with you guys both in the three line. One other thing I just want to point out with college basketball. So you look at like the ACC, you look at the Big Ten, only 15 teams getting to play in the conference tournament. The battles at the bottom of the conferences have been pretty good. Nobody's quitting because they all want to make it to the tournament. So you're seeing upset. Last I looked, Penn State was up 5 on Indiana. I don't know if they still are. But, you know, these teams are all fighting to make sure that they get to Indianapolis. Yeah, I mean, I'm just saying it's kind of interesting that they have to earn your way in, and now it's down to 2G. But, I mean, that's on the road at Indiana, and Indiana needs the game desperately. They just come off beating Purdue, and now they have to sit there and battle with Penn State at home. You'd think that would be an easier one, and it's not. So you're seeing a little bit of competitive nature on this, which I think is pretty cool. Just something extra added after earn your way into the tournament makes these bottom feeder teams play really hard here down the stretch. And that's pretty much all I have. Big matchups this week just to look at. Ole Miss at Auburn was tonight. It was a 30-point blowout. Sorry about that. UCLA visits Purdue on Friday, the John Wooden game. You know, went to Purdue, coached at UCLA. Why not? Alabama at Tennessee Saturday, probably the game of the weekend. You know, it's not the third Saturday in October, but it's still pretty interesting. Auburn goes to Kentucky, another great matchup. And they're saying Butler might be back, so that would be pretty cool if he is for Kentucky. Texas Tech goes to Kansas. You got to see if Kansas can beat anybody good now. Kansas has to start beating good teams again. Texas A&M at Florida, especially off this loss tonight. Texas A&M's going to have to right the ship. They could fall to a 6 seed, 7 seed. Arizona at Iowa State, another big matchup. And then Wisconsin at Michigan State on Sunday. Two other quick last points. Good to hear Dickie V doing the game, Alabama, Kentucky. Yep. But once again, stop with the Duke convo, Dickie V. Four best defensive coaches in basketball right now are Barnes, Patino, Sampson, and John Shire. Stop. John Shire hasn't done a thing. Stop. Come on, man. Stop with this crap. And the other thing is just a shout out to Raf. 82 years old, Friday night in Ann Arbor for Michigan State, Saturday afternoon in Lawrence for Oklahoma State, Kansas, Sunday in L.A. at Pauley for the Bill Walton tribute game, Ohio State, UCLA. This guy's 82 freaking years old. You didn't hear anything cracking in his voice. You didn't feel no complaining. The guy simply loves college basketball. And I know that we all, Sticky V this, Sticky V that. Raf is a pure gem. And if you don't enjoy watching him do a game, you just don't love college basketball.
Yep.
And that would be that for me. Oh, and finally, I'm sorry. And then we'll wrap up. The story of Andre Cabello. You guys know Andre Cabello?
I did not.
A couple of years back, he was their sixth man. He was the Big Ten sixth man of the year. Okay. And, you know, he was a top 50 recruit out of New York City, guard, had a great freshman year. His sophomore year, he suffered a concussion in the preseason because he got into a drunken fight with somebody, okay? Didn't play well, received several technicals, fouls, threw equipment at team managers on the bus after a loss. He called a Washington fan a clown on Twitter, did a bunch of things. So he transferred out to St. John's after some discipline. Got his first tech with St. John's 1 minute into his first game. Was suspended multiple times at St. John's. Held his own press conference while suspended and only answered one question, which was, why was he suspended? And his answer was, I don't know. Then he started juggling tennis balls as a pregame ritual. Then he got kicked off the team. Then he played for the Puerto Rican national team. Boston's passport right before a travel game. Got into a fight with a teammate in front of the rest of the team. Damaged a trash can. Cussed out El Salvador's coach during a game. Missed mandatory team breakfast. Had four separate meetings about behavior with the team GM. Also, apparently, but unconfirmed, was caught with escorts. Okay? But then he transfers to Southern Miss. This is over like a five-year span, guy. Got a check from the bench during his first game at Southern Miss. He then went and sat in the stands after said technical. He was suspended indefinitely. Then he was ejected in his final game after receiving a tech from the bench again. He has now been kicked off the Southern Miss basketball team. I don't know if we'll ever see another guy like Andre Cabello. I just thought I would point out his saga because to read it all over four college basketball seasons or five, he does more than most people do in a lifetime. So, tu saluda.
One other thing, we lost one of the announcers this past week in Al Trautwig.
Good point.
Anything you want to bring up with him?
Well, we're all of the age that, boy, I'm shocked he's dead, and he's only 69. But any event at Madison Square Garden, you felt like Al Trautwig was there, pre-game, post-game, interviewing whoever. He was on, whatever, 16 Olympics?
Yep.
He always had the offbeat sports.
Oh, yeah. They gave him the winter stuff that nobody in America was ever competitive at, so he would have it.
Ski shooting.
Yeah, exactly. He would do the biathlon, you know, cause stuff like that.
I actually have an Al Trautwig story. Me and my wife were out to dinner with another couple, some friends of ours, and the other couple, the woman, knocked over a whole glass of red wine on my wife by accident. And Al actually got up, brought over a napkin, and me and the other guy were like, aren't you Al Trautwig? It was a 1.5 minute interaction, but he was a really nice guy. He was very concerned because he saw the glass just go flying and wine everywhere. But
what a class act. And he always sounded that way. And he always sounded like he was excited to be there.
Yep.
Covered a lot of Yankee stuff as well. Got to see Al Trautwig a lot. And you know what? He's a voice of our growing up during the good Knicks years, to be honest with you. And the good Ranger years. Sorry, boys. But he was part of that as well. So. Yep. Rest in peace, Al. You were a major part of the New York sports scene for a long time. Anything else before we wrap up, gentlemen?
That's it.
We are the Sports Kings from Queens. I'm Darren here with Gino, here with Kevin, talking about the wonderful, wild, and wacky world of sports. A wacky world where we get to spend a good minute on Andre Cabello. Please download the podcast anywhere you can get a podcast, whether it be an Apple product, Spotify, TuneIn, whatever you like. We put a lot of stuff on social. Please like, comment, share it. We put a lot of clips up on the YouTube page. Watch us on YouTube. See the beautiful faces, the voices that you're hearing all night long. And without any further ado, may your sports be with you.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.